going to, I mute this. And welcome to our second meeting. And so my plan for today is to complete the Barkistophron example. And then, have you started?
Good.
And then talk a little bit about the technicalities of this class. So we're still in the sort of splash scene of this course, okay? So let me remind you where we were, okay? We were talking about the problem of designing the most thrilling amusement ride. So a ski slope, which will get you from point A to point B at the fastest possible time, assuming no friction. And we said, let us introduce coordinates. So y was measured from the top. X, let's say, is measured from the left. So by the way, the function that I am seeking a function y, a function of x, and it should satisfy y of 0 is equal to 0, because remember, I'm measuring from the top, so the point A is actually at 0, and it will satisfy y of b is equal to a, right? Because at x equals to b, I'm down at depth A, okay? And more interestingly, it satisfies a certain differential equation. So let me very briefly remind you how the differential equation was derived. So it was derived by saying, first of all, by conservation of energy, I know that the speed of the skier at any given depth is fixed by that depth. The moment you know the depth, the kinetic energy, the loss of potential energy is fixed, therefore the gain of kinetic energy is fixed, therefore the speed of the skier is fixed, and we wrote a formula for that speed, and it came out to be v, the speed or the velocity, is equal to the square root of 2gy. Okay, the second thing we said was there is something in physics called Fermat's principle, which says that that light will travel from a point A to a point B along the fastest possible route. Okay? And then we said, there is also Snell's law. And Snell's law said that if we had two materials separated by a horizontal plane, in the material at the top, the velocity of light is v1, and at the material at the bottom, the velocity of light is v2, then if a light ray goes from a point here to a point here, it will go along a path so that, well, if you write this angle and call it alpha 1, and you write this angle and call it alpha 2, then it will go along the path for which v1 divided by sine of alpha 1 is equal to v2 divided by sine of alpha 2, which amounts to saying that the velocity divided by the sine of the angle with the normal is a constant. Okay? It's independent of the material in which you travel. Okay? And then we said, let's build this machine or this problem, let's solve it by tracing light rays inside a glass whose density is somehow a function of the depth. Which function of the depth? The function that will give this velocity. These velocities. And then the moral was that we should have that v divided by sine of alpha is equal to a constant, but v was just computed, it's the square root of 2gy, okay? And also, the sine of alpha, so what's alpha? Alpha was the angle between the curve and the normal, more precisely between the tangent to the curve and the normal. And, you know, the direction of the curve is determined by its derivative. So with trigonometric manipulations, we can find sine of alpha in terms of y prime. We did it last time, and the conclusion, so I mean, I will not go through it once again, but the conclusion was a differential equation. And the differential equation, if I remember right, was y times 1 plus y prime squared is equal to some constant. I mean, sort of, it came out from this equation and further manipulation, so the constant changed, and I just decided to call the new constant d. Okay? So I believe that's where we were at the end of the last hour. Am I right? Good. So how do we solve this equation? So, okay, that's what this course is about. Okay? So let me show you four or five techniques to solve this equation. Or rather, sketch four or five techniques to solve this equation. The first one is cheating. Okay, so how does cheating go? You go to your computer. Oh, I should unmute. Where is it? Here. You go to your computer. You know, I'm tempted. I'm really, really tempted. Does anybody like me? No. Okay. Sorry. You go to your computer, you start your favorite computer algebra program. In my case, it's Mathematica, but you know, you can do whatever you want. You turn on, I pre-typed the equation. So here is the equation. Right? It's no pointer. Okay. No. I have a pointer in my office, but, and maybe next time it will be with me, but it isn't now. So the equation is written at the top. Y of x times the square root of 1 plus y prime of x squared is equal to d. Solve this equation, differential solve this equation with, to find the function y, which is a function of x. So you put your cursor there, you hit enter, and the computer tells you that there are four solutions. And then you have to think about a little bit about which solution is right, okay? So you see, even when you cheat, you still have to think after that. So, like, the two solutions on the left begin with a minus. It's minus the square root. They're obviously wrong, okay? Our y should be positive. Or rather, they're not wrong, but they're wrong for our problem, okay? For the problem we started with. And what about the two solutions on the right? I think they're just okay, I'll let you figure out which one is right. Okay, yes. That's after all the cheating way, so yeah.
On the board you did put the square root, but on the thing you put the square root. You see what I'm saying? On the differential equation.
Ooh! Sorry! What an idiot! Thank you very much. Did I write the wrong equation? Did I copy the wrong equation? It does look like it. I'm sorry. So let me remove the square root. Sorry, idiotic. Okay. Oy, oy, oy. I wish it had been the square root. Okay. Anyway, that's what the computer says. You have to invert find the inverse function of a certain arctangens or something. Okay, no comment. Okay, let's go for solution number two. You know, solution number two and number three, I don't want to state, I only want to say that we will get to those at some point. Okay, so solution number two will be, well, let's give up on finding an honest solution and just try to approximate this solution numerically. So I'm just telling you that at some point later in the course, we will learn techniques for computing this function on a machine, on a computer, numerically. You know, using floating point numbers, rather than finding an analytic formula. So that will be way number two, and we will get to it later. Method number three will be in a similar way to give up. So we will give up on finding the function, but we will say maybe instead of finding the function, we will find a power series that converges to this function. Okay? By the way, maybe I should give you a very, very quick example of that because it's really easy. So, a very quick example, let's try to solve the differential equation f of x prime is equal to f of x. And also, which satisfies f of 0 is equal to 1. Okay? So, I know you know the solution of this this equation. Do you? What is it? It's too easy question. It's a question so easy that people don't bother to answer. Of course, it's e to the x, but pretend I didn't know how to solve this equation. I could still say, well, let's try to write a Taylor series for this function. So, since f of 0 has to be 1, it means that the Taylor series has to start with 1. Right? Then there should be a term proportional to x. Then there should be a term proportional to x squared. The term proportional to x should be, how do I find it? Well, the derivative of this function should be itself. So whatever I put it, its derivative should be 1. Sorry, whatever I put here, once I differentiate this term, I should get 1. So I'm forced to put 1. What should I put in front of the x squared? Well, whatever I put here, when I differentiate it, I'll get differentiating the x squared, I'll get 2x. But I'm supposed to get 1x, right? So I have to put 1 half. And likewise, I'll have to put 1 over 3 factorial x cubed and so on. So I could have discovered the power series directly from the equation without ever solving the equation. So that would be technique number, what is it by now? 3? Okay. So solve this equation. I mean, sorry, find this power series rather than an analytic formula. Okay? In a way, by the way, I mean, you know, arguably, when we say sine of x, what do we mean? So arguably, sine of x is simply a name for a certain power series. So we had a power series and then we gave it a name. So in a certain sense, it would be just as good here. It would, you know, we'll write a power series and then we'll call it the solution to the Brackey-Stokron problem. Maybe we will call it Brack of X. Okay. Okay. Next. Okay. Let's do the non-cheating solution. Okay. So the non-cheating solution will be a technique that we will spend more time on later. And for now, all I want to do is to sort of do it without detail. Okay? So the technique is called separation of variables. There are several things that are called separation of variables, so this is what it's called here. Or this is the... It is called separation of variables, right? Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. So, again, I want to solve y is equal to, sorry, 1, y plus, sorry, I want to solve this equation. My first step will be to try to write y prime as a function of y. Okay, so let me see, I'll divide by y and I'll get 1 plus y prime squared is equal to d divided by y. I'll subtract 1 and I'll get y prime is equal to d divided by y minus 1, which is the same as d minus y divided by y. Y prime squared is equal to this, and therefore y prime is equal to the square root of d minus y divided by y. Okay? In a minute I'll tell you how to go ahead from this, but even before going, or how to go further from this. But even before going further, let me give you a little bit of a geometric interpretation, which will, again, we will return to. We will return to it later on in this class. So, what are we saying here? Jordan, did you take a picture of this blackboard?
I was waiting for the screen to go up, because it's partially blocked.
Ah, I see. What do we do? You know what, let's bring the screen up, because I will need it in a minute, but... even before solving this, let's give it a little bit of a geometric interpretation. So, and let me be more conventional and draw y going up. So, first of all, what is the domain of definition of this function? Well, if y is not between 0 and d, this will be a negative function. This will be a negative, the quotient here will be negative. So, really, this makes sense only for y between 0 and d. Okay? So, let me put d here somewhere, and 0 here, somewhere. Now y is going up, as usual. And I am looking for a function which will satisfy this equation, and its y values must be between 0 and d. So its y values must somehow be between this line and the x-axis. Now, what do I know about this function? I know that, let's see, when y is equal to d, if y is equal to d, I have here d minus y, well, that's 0, so I'll just get 0. So I know that the derivative of the function I'm looking for will be 0 if y is on the on the horizontal line at the top, okay? So, let me draw it by sort of putting kind of horizontal lines here, and the horizontal lines here are like the tangent of the function. If the function will reach the top line, its tangent will be horizontal. Okay? Let's say we're somewhere in the middle. So, if we're in the middle, so let's say y is equal to 1/2 d. Okay? So, if y is equal to 1/2 d, I'll get y prime is equal to the square root of 1/2 d divided by, right, because d minus 1/2 d is 1/2 d, divided by 1/2 d, which is 1. Okay? So, if I'm in the middle, the slope of the function will be 1. So if the function passes this line, it will pass it sort of with slope 1. And finally, if the function, if y is equal to 0, so if y is equal to 0 or close to 0, then, well, if y is equal to 0, it's not well defined, right? But close to, if y is tiny, 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 then we're dividing by something tiny, we get a huge number, taking the square root, it's still a huge number, so the slope is near infinity. Slope near infinity means things that look like this. Okay? And in between, we will sort of gradually go from vertical towards the slanted, towards the horizontal. So, like, if the function passes this line, then it will be sloped more than it would be here, but less than it would be here. And if it passes through this line, it will be sloped less. Okay? So basically, I have this plane here, or not plane, this rectangle or infinite band here, and on it, there are sort of the hairs of a horse, okay? Or maybe a cat, definitely not my hair, okay? And we are looking for a... What things tend to walk on horses? I don't know. We're looking for small animals that will walk along this... this horse always following the hare. Okay, so that was an aside. This was I just drew a picture to sort of understand what does it mean to solve this equation. So that's what it means. Okay. By the way, does it make sense? So I suppose it is, at least superficially, it agrees with the intuition we had, right? If you turn this upside down, you get exactly this picture. So it's at least reasonable, agrees with our intuition, yes?
Why the roots of the earth is not from the origin?
Sorry? Yes, so in fact there are many solutions, and we expect many solutions, and which one it is we will have to choose, we will choose the one that satisfies these conditions. So there are, you know, there is the solution I wrote, but equally well there is this solution, and equally well there is this solution. So, you know, in fact, you have these little animals walking on the horse, and they're racing, so you have competition, you know, they're starting in a line, and they each follow a different path. Anyway, back to this, how do we solve this? So now I'll start, now I'll do formal manipulations that I will explain later. So dy divided by dx is equal to square root of b minus y divided by y. Okay? Let me multiply by dx and divide by the right hand side. So dy divided by the square root of d minus y over y is equal to dx. I don't even know what it means, but that's what I do. And later I will have to justify it. Okay? You know, let's just write it more cleanly. So square root of y divided by d minus y is equal to dx, sorry, times dy is equal to dx. And now let me integrate both sides. So, the integral of this is equal to the integral of this. What? I don't know, I'll have to justify it later, but at least formally I'm doing it. Okay? What's the integral of the left-hand, of the right-hand side? X plus a constant. I guess, you know, C is long forgotten, so I can call it C. It's not the same C as before, but it's x plus c. What's the integral of the thing on the left? Something that has to do with arctan. So I'll give you a few answers for what? For that as well. Answer one, number one is often when we solve differential equations, we're satisfied by by keeping it this way. So if we reduce the solution to something that we supposedly previously know, we're happy. Okay? So supposedly I know what to write here. I mean, I don't know what any precise formula it will be. It will be g of y, some function g. Okay? Typically this will be enough. So on an exam, often it will be enough to keep the solution this way, except unless, you know, if this is something that's so obvious, and often I will cook questions, or questions are cooked so that the left-hand side is so obvious that you can just do it. So, you know, had this been y squared, I would expect you to write y cubed over 3. If it's this, I probably don't expect you to remember all the techniques. Okay? Anyway, given that it is, okay, so that's one way to set, to continue, to just call it g of y. Okay? And then, by the way, what is the solution for the differential equation? So the solution is either x is equal to g of y minus c. So in fact, we ended up writing this function as a function of x, well, as x given as a function of y. And by the way, what is this minus c? This minus c is the thing that we expected. We expected to be able to move the solution left or right, again, which if you view it as x as a function of y, it means up or down, which means adding a constant. So that's one way to write the solution. And another way to write the solution is to say, okay, this means that y is equal to g inverse of x plus c. So whatever g, whatever messy thing g is, that would be the solution. Okay? Finally, well, I didn't have to call it g of y. I could have actually computed. So I did compute it at home, and you know what? I probably prefer, should I do it? It's a messy formula, and in fact it was on the board before because the computer found it. No, I declined to write the formula. There is some specific formula with arctangents, etc. And I think I declined to write it. It's just not pretty well. Am I just making too much noise? No, I'll copy it wrong even if I try. So, no comment. Okay. So, and then maybe I want to do one other thing that's completely unrelated to differential equations, or rather, not quite the technique of differential equations, but I still want to do it. So, Jordan, am I allowed to erase this blackboard?
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to state a claim, and the claim will also explain where this function is coming from, okay? Or will interpret this function. So claim, this is a so-called cycloid. So maybe I'll explain what a cycloid is. So let me go back to drawing the coordinates this way. So a cycloid is the following form, the following thing. So you take a wheel of diameter d, so of radius r, which is equal to d over 2, and you put a flashlight, or you put a light, a blinking light, at the end of, at the side of it, and then you let the wheel roll. Okay? So you let it, just roll, but sort of while, so that it's always connected to the top, always tangent to the top. If you wish, maybe the correct way is to turn the coordinates over, and then it will, you know what, maybe I should just turn the coordinates over. So just take a bicycle wheel, put a light here, and let the wheel roll, okay? And trace the trajectory of this light. So what it will do, it will, so as the wheel rolls, it will fall down to the bottom, and then it will go up again until it will reach the height of the top of the wheel, and then it will fall down once again, right? And reach the bottom once again, and this path, I claim, is, or rather, a half of this path is the solution curve we're looking for. Okay? So, maybe I'll add a few more parameters. So, you know, the diameter is d. So, therefore, the perimeter is pi times d. So, therefore, the distance between two consecutive points where the light touches the ground is pi times d. Okay? Anyway, I don't know if you want to believe me on this, so let me derive this. Or let me check this, let me verify this. So, what can I erase? I guess I can erase this by now. So let's just write formulas for the position of the flashlight at time t. Okay? So what is the position of the flashlight at time t? So it's the position of the center of the wheel at time t, okay? Plus the radius vector to the flashlight. Now, the position of the center of the wheel at time t, well, the y-coordinate is always d over 2. So the y-coordinate is always d over 2. And if I'm spinning at a fixed velocity, again, what velocity it is doesn't really matter, because at the end I only want to watch the trajectory of the flashlight. I don't care about how quickly I go through this trajectory. So let's pretend I'm spinning at 1 radian per second, okay, which amounts to a motion of 1 radius per second, okay? So what I have here is d over 2 times t, okay? To this, I need to add the radius of the wheel, so d over 2, times basically I need to add the coordinates of this point relative to this point. So, but notice that I'm moving clockwise rather than counterclockwise. Okay? So I'll be getting cosine of cosine of negative t, sine of negative t. Let me be more precise. Where do I start? Where am I at t equals 0? At t equals 0, I want to start here, right? So at t equals 0, I should be, do it again. At t equals 0, I start down here, and then I move clockwise, right? So I really should have written cosine of 3 pi over 2 minus t and sine of 3 pi over 2 minus t. Okay? Which is, I guess I can pull out a d over 2 out of everything, so I'll get d over 2 times t1 plus, now what's cosine of 3 pi over 2? Anybody knows? Oh my god, this is scary, right? Sorry. Cosine of 3 pi over 2 minus t. I can't do these things. Now I'm going backwards. It's negative sine t. And what's sine of 3 pi over 2? Negative cosine t? I think so. Okay. So x as a function of t will be d over 2 times t minus sine t, and y as a function of t will be d over 2 1 minus cosine t. Okay? And by the way, this explains why when we tried to write x as a function of y, we had to use inverse trigonometric functions. Okay? And in fact, if you want to figure out what the function g is, one way to do it is to just derive it from here. Okay? Anyway, that was a claim. I still have to justify it. So let me try to justify it. So let me check if the differential equation is satisfied. So I have to compute dy dx. So how do I do that? So the wrong way would be to express y as a function of x and then differentiate. The better way would be to manipulate differentials, as hopefully we've learned earlier. So we dy dx should be dy dt times dx times dt dy, sorry, dx, which is dy dt times dx dt inverse. And now it's a complete triviality. The derivative of y with respect to t is, well, let me just differentiate this. So it's d over 2 times, what's the derivative of cosine? Negative sine? So it's, but 1 minus, I'll get a sine. So I'll get sine of t. Quantity multiplied by the inverse of the derivative of x with respect to t. So the derivative of x with respect to t will be d over 2 times 1 minus cosine t. 1 minus cosine t. Okay? And I guess certain things cancel. So the d over 2 cancels the d over 2. And I get sine t divided by 1 minus cosine t. So this would be the derivative, so the slope Okay, this will be dy dx at time t of my motion. Okay? Anyway, now I have to substitute it in here and see if it works. So, question, is it true that sine t divided by 1 minus cosine t, which is this, which is my derivative, is it equal to the right-hand side? The right-hand side is the square root of d minus y. What's y? D over 2, 1 minus cosine t. Divided by which fortunately is again d over 2 divided by 1 minus cosine t. So is this true? I don't know, that's sort of a high school arithmetic problem. Let me see if I can do it. Do I have time for it? Barely. No. So I'll just, well, no, I really should. So what do I get here? The square root of all the d's cancel, and I'll get, let's see, sorry. I'll get, minus minus cosine t, that's plus cosine t. Plus 1, I'm dividing by d over 2, and then 1 minus cosine t, and...
multiply the numerator and denominator by 1 plus cosine
t, yeah.
Or 1 minus
cosine t. I think I...
Yeah, that would multiply the numerator by 1 minus cos t.
Maybe I'll square both sides. And
you can multiply by the conjugate. You multiply by 1 minus cosine t, and you get 1 minus cosine square root t, which is sine square root t.
Oh,
and
that's, good.
And
lots of possibilities. Yeah. Okay. So, fine, I'll take your suggestion. So let's multiply both sides by 1 plus cosine, divide both sides by 1 plus...
No, times both sides by 1 minus cosine t.
No, but just multiply on the right hand side.
You know what? There are so many ways to do it. Let me just pick one. You know what? Let me go to the one I was going to do at the beginning, okay? So, I want to ask myself, is sine squared divided by 1 minus cosine squared equal to, let's square this, so 1 plus cosine divided by 1 minus cosine, and I'm dropping all the t's. Okay? Now, sine squared is 1 minus cosine. So, is 1 minus cosine squared, divided by this, equal to 1 plus cosine divided by 1 minus cosine, now it's pure arithmetic, there is not even trigonometry left, so it better work. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm kind of rushing because I wanted to also say a few things about the administrative stuff. So, not quite administrative stuff, I want to show you the website of this class once again. Here it is. Monday's class is already on, and you should, if you want to see it, you go to this navigation panel and you click on Monday. And I'm not online. Loving. I was online earlier, but sorry. This is the. I don't know what to say. This is the service that this thing gives me. So sorry. No network access. Yeah, it's not going to work right now. Anyway, okay. So let's go to the real technicalities, and these are the about this class handout. And I just want to go over it very quickly with you. So, I think the instructor you've already met. The classes you already know, and they are the teaching assistant is Jordan, you've seen him. There will be tutorials after this class, so Tuesdays 10 to 11 in this room, except today. So except for this week, so we will start next week. And the URL is given on this handout. I think I want to skip the abstract and the prerequisites. The textbook is, as I unfortunately didn't bring it with me this time. It's a slightly unfortunate thing. I didn't find the ideal textbook. So the textbook that I'm suggesting, Boyce and De Prima, is the better ones of the few that I looked at. But it's not ideal. And we will follow it half-heartedly, okay? So I recommend having it because it's a good reference, okay? But half of the time we will deviate from it and do other things. So for example, the things that we've done so far are not there. And in the other half, when we do follow Boyce and De Prima, I will do my best to avoid forcing you to read it, okay? So in other words, if I assign homework assignments, often or many of them will be taken from the book, but there will be also an alternative way for you to get these assignments, okay? So I recommend owning it, but you can survive without it. The rough outline of the course is on the page. I think I don't want to say much about it. There are videos. Every class will be videotaped, and I wish I could show you that the first one is already... Oh! The first one is already online. There is no sound because I turned off the sound, but this is what it will look like. I want to make a few comments about that. You'll see me moving around on the left side, and you'll see blackboards on the right. And sort of the blackboard we being discussed is usually